This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Ron Hughley's over in Disney World, y'all. Sean Bajani, he ain't on Area 45. No, sir. Not today, baby. He is on The Drive right here, right next to me. And T-Mill is on the ones and twos behind the glass. And
it's my Disney World.
Yeah, right here, baby. This old, you're on this old dirty ride. This old drive ride.
Whoa, Disney.
Come on now. The Aaron Rodgers saga, if you will, is an interesting one, boys. When I got up this morning, Aaron Rodgers, the word on the street was Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants, man. That's where it's at. What's the Minnesota Vikings are out of the mix and
fresh out of the punch of karma.
It's about Pittsburgh and New York, which, in my opinion, I don't know what the hell. At that point, I'm going, I mean, what are we doing, Aaron? We there's no doubt about it. Pittsburgh, I mean, you could, it wouldn't shock everybody if you went in there and made a deep run into the playoffs. I mean, the Giants ain't doing a damn thing.
It'd be like Jets 2.0.
Oh, boy, that's bad. I don't, I mean, they got some guys. Ron, I said that one day, and Ron pushed back with a little bit of, just a breakdown of their roster with some guys. They got some dudes now. Ron was right. They got some dudes, but that is Daboll is on his way. He got one leg out the door. I think he's done in New York. Now he may. I've been wrong many a time, but
dysfunctional situation to dysfunctional situation.
All you're doing is staying close. You can keep that apartment you rented. I would imagine.
But not the same building.
But this is interesting. Diana Rossini, she's reporting in the last couple of hours here. She's reporting that. Here's what you need to know on the Aaron Rodgers front. The Vikings are having discussions about what they want to do at the quarterback position and if they want Rodgers. Rodgers is giving them time and waiting to hear from Minnesota. The Vikings have yet to make the decision. We all wait. So once again, did we talk yesterday about how silly it was for everybody to be acting like Aaron Rodgers is holding the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin and company hostage? I mean, This just makes more and more sense by the hour. The truth of the matter is he's got a 14-win team that is Super Bowl built, flirting with him and considering bringing him on board for a year while their top 10 draft pick quarterback from last year, J.J. McCarthy, sits and not only gets healthy but also learns the game and develops, and which I don't think is a stretch for J.J. McCarthy. This is probably really a silver lining for J.J. McCarthy. The injury, Sam Darnold doing well. Now Aaron Rodgers potentially coming in. He's not living in dysfunction. He's not rushed to get healthy. He's not rushed to play early. He can develop his game and learn the game and learn the team and get to know the coach and the system before he ever has any expectations on him. This is a beautiful thing for J.J. McCarthy, if we're being honest, which this doesn't happen very often. J.J. McCarthy is getting the luxury of what usually a late first-round pick or a second-round quarterback gets, where he can sit and wait. Most top 10 quarterbacks are pushed directly into action and overwhelmed to some degree. Now, I say all that to say Aaron Rodgers in Minnesota gets scary. I don't know where you're at.
For who?
For the rest of the NFL. For damn sure for the rest of the NFC. The question is, and this has got to be what they're pondering, right? Is there a 14-win team? I mean, they had Super Bowl expectations last year with Sam Darnold before the wheels came off with the pressure in the last game of the season and the first round of the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got to believe that Aaron Rodgers gives them another year of at least Super Bowl expectations. I don't think live up to it, but definitely Super Bowl expectations. And if you can recreate what happened last year, not necessarily the 14 wins, but put yourself in a position where the last game of the season means something and get into the playoffs in that game, you can rest assured you may lose those games, and hell, Aaron may not play well, but you're not going to get overwhelmed by blitzes. Like Aaron's going to handle that pressure a lot better than Sam Darnold did. And so here's the question is does the Minnesota Vikings with Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, one, do you think they're a true Super Bowl contender, and do they scare you at all?
Yeah, I think it's scary. Yeah, it's a little scary from a football sense. I think they're a legitimate contender.
It's that simple.
I think what the reports are now, and that, you know, look, Rodgers, Vikings, mutual interest, and, you know, Rodgers is waiting to hear back what the Vikings think of the whole situation. Well, could they be trying to decide amongst themselves, like, if they feel like J.J. McCarthy is ready to be the guy from day one this year?
Yeah.
Or, as you say, and it's a great option, it's a great plan, but are they confident in turning J.J. McCarthy loose from day one this year? Letting him know that, hey, this offseason, you know you're going to be the starter. Going into the training camp, you're going to be the starter. Here's the keys. But if you bring Aaron Rodgers in, I don't think in any way, shape, or form you run the risk of kind of stunting J.J. McCarthy's growth. I think you do something to help it, to help it grow. And I think that's probably a tough decision for the Vikings to make, because I don't know that if J.J. McCarthy gets hurt last year, that he's not the starter by week three anyway.
Yeah, and then this year looks different, right?
And so that's probably the crux of it, if I was to guess, of what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings. But from Aaron Rodgers alone, between Minnesota and Pittsburgh, there is literally nowhere else that makes sense for the organization and Aaron Rodgers to marry up for at least 1 year.
Yeah.
I think if it's Pittsburgh, I mean, that is a very similar situation. Pittsburgh all of a sudden becomes a pretty dangerous squad in the AFC.
We do not care.
I do think it's interesting when you look at Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, George Pickens, all on one offense. Mm-hmm. That is a bomb waiting to explode. If everything goes well, and if Mike Tomlin works his magic, which he always has, and holds things together,
yeah,
then maybe it works. But it just seems like to me the only push, because I think Pittsburgh should be doing everything they can to get. They should be throwing the kitchen sink at him to get him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because your quarterback situation has been miserable since Ben left, right? To get some kind of momentum going in the right direction, you know, another 500 year might get Mike Tomlin fired. I mean, you've got to do. So Pittsburgh to me is a no brainer, but it's the fact that there's also a 14-win football team that Super Bowl built also in the mix here that Aaron's waiting on. The bottom line is Aaron's walk around on a beach with a blankie for a reason. I mean, if he did plant the photographer to take the picture, so be it. I mean, he is contemplating Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Minnesota Vikings after a 14-win season when Sam Darnold went nuts in the last two games of the season. He's in a really good spot.
Yeah, you just kind of give me pause a little bit when you say it the way that you just did. Like, the Steelers should be throwing everything in the kitchen sink at Aaron Rodgers. Okay, can you do too much there, though? Like, for a guy specifically in Aaron Rodgers who is going to take his sweet time, and you're not sure if you're any organization in the NFL, if Aaron Rodgers really wants to give it 100% go this year. I think there's been trepidation the last couple of 3 years in Aaron Rodgers' career that, is this guy still all the way in this?
Yeah.
You know, from a health standpoint, from a mental standpoint, does he really want to do this again? Aaron Rodgers can only make that decision. So if you throw everything in the kitchen sink at Aaron Rodgers, then maybe you kind of force his hand a little bit, and you're getting a guy that's not really all in it for the organization, for the team, but maybe just rather for the money, and will give it another, you know, a last go. That's what I'd be worried about if I'm an organization.
I'll tell you where I'm at if I'm an organization. One, I mean, hopefully I would be able to talk to him and his people and figure that out just face-to-face, man-to-man, you know, with eye contact. But the way I view it from a 30,000-foot view is, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't serious about winning, when he tore that Achilles, he'd have disappeared like everybody else does. He was on the sideline. He was pushing to get back. He was with the coaching staff. He was with the now for some reason somehow it went south. I don't know if he got old buddy fired or whatever it may be, but like I find it hard to believe that a guy's in it for the money and a guy doesn't want to win when he is in the most dysfunctional organization ever, blows an Achilles out, doesn't know other than the money side of it. That's the only positive to take from it, and he is going back and forth to New York and doing everything he can to get back on the field, even though people say that was for attention. He was on the field, on the sideline, with the team, and everybody wants to point back to the mini camp that he missed,
mm-hmm.
right? Nobody wants to talk about he was at every mini camp and every practice leading up to that wasn't mandatory. It was at everything that he didn't have to be at, but a vacation, which I'm not justifying. Like, I don't like guys not doing that. I don't like to use, you ass should be there. Forget your trip to Egypt or whatever the hell it was you were doing. But there was a lot of good with Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, I'm simply making the case. I'm not trying to defend him. I'm simply making the case that I think record, like what his track record has been legitimately when it could have been something totally different. Mm-hmm. I think the dude has proven that he wants to play.
I just have questions because of what you just described. And to me, it is a big deal. You're a guy. You're Aaron Rodgers. You're not just another dude. Sure. Okay. So when you don't do something, or when you do something, or when you miss something, it is a story, and it's tenfold in New York. And he knows that. Everybody knows that. And you let it happen anyway. I mean, he and that organization shot themselves in the foot before, you know, they even got off.
Yeah, no, look, jump. I think it was a very poor decision. To your point, it was a very poor decision on his behalf doing what he did. But if we're going to have a conversation about his love for the game and whether he wants to be all in or not, I think we've also got to talk about when he was all in every other day of the offseason when he didn't have to be. If he was all in during the season after blowing out an Achilles tendon, he was in, like, he was flying private jets in and out, and it's like that has to be part of the story too. I'm not saying you have to believe one way or another. That has to be part of the conversation.
Totally fair. I think that's the line of thinking by prospective new organizations he could be representing. Fair. Is this guy going to represent us 24 hours a day or only when it's convenient for him?
Well, I tell you, if I had Minnesota and Pittsburgh and New York, for that matter, fighting over me, I'd get me a blanket and go walk on the beach somewhere and have my old lady take pictures. I can tell you that. That's Sean Bajani right there. He's in for Ryan Uglick. Tyler Milner is on them ones and twos back there. And let's take a look back at them Astros yesterday. I think there's a couple of things. I think it was a Brian McTaggart article. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of things that I think are of note, the way he kind of couched it, that I think that the listeners may appreciate. Altuve, I know he made the blunder in left field. It should have been a routine play for a Major League Baseball left fielder, and it was what we'd all hope we would never have to deal with, which was kind of him getting exposed of his weaknesses, his inexperience, if you will. But he has started seven games to this point in left field, and yesterday he played nine total innings.
Yep.
He's got to be getting closer to being ready. I know there's some conversations, and even to hear Joe Espada say, "Well, we got another handful of games before we have to make a decision." That decision's made, right?
What decision?
I mean, Altuve in left field,
100%.
Yeah, like 100%. Him misjudging him. Which, by the way, I'm hoping the sun and the wind had more to do with that misjudge yesterday than the warning track in the wall. I'm hoping.
I think it was the wind.
Yeah, I hope that was the case. He wanted to deal with it here in Daikin Park, but nonetheless. Seven starts, just for those out there that are counting, he's seven starts in left field, and yesterday was the first time that he played nine innings, so he's definitely getting closer to being regular season ready. Spencer Arrighetti also yesterday.
Nice.
Wanted to work on a two-seamer, apparently adding that two-seamer to his repertoire, but didn't get to throw it as much as he wanted to.
Saw what it's done for Hunter Brown.
Yeah, well, good point. He did have a good outing, though. Triple off the wall in that game was the only run that he gave up. So he must have got it back together. But Spencer Arrighetti with a decent outing. And I know, Tyler, we talked about this yesterday. Just a little look back here yesterday at the Astros yesterday. And they don't play again. They don't go today until 5:05. We'll hit that game here in a bit. But I asked yesterday, T, you know, we had a little Forrest Whitley moment. And
unfortunately.
With a little ouchie on his knee.
Yeah, and I'm at the point where I feel sorry for the guy.
I'm a real boy. But I
do want to clear something up, because my biggest annoyance yesterday with when the report broke was how in the hell did he hurt his knee, man? What is this guy doing where he hurts his knee? Well, he just for the record, I want to set the record straight. It was an injury from when he was pitching. It wasn't some random fall down the stairs. I was afraid that he went whatever that strip was that Pendergast pain and Pendergast that little. At a hot spot in West Palm that they went to, yeah. They were down there partying. I was afraid that Forrest may have ventured out and stumbled over a curb or something. But it was an injury.
That would have been a lingering injury.
It was when he was pitching. So we are.
Did he take a liner off of the knee?
I don't know. I didn't say.
Did he fall down on his knee?
I read far enough to say when it was injured when he was pitching. I said, all right, I'm cool.
Lopez made a good point earlier. I was listening to them coming in, or maybe I was in the other studio. I guess it was. He said. Okay, the report was he felt something in his knee when he was pitching. Okay, he felt something. So how does just feeling something, which when you say that sounds to me like maybe you tweaked it, maybe it's a muscle, mm-hmm. maybe a tendon, yeah. to, uh-oh, it's a deep bone bruise. Something, you hit something or something hit you. That was a really good point by Lopez. So, and it just does nothing more than create, shadow of a doubt, smoke screen. Makes us think that the Astros are telling us more lies. Like when Kyle Tucker had a bone bruise,
yeah.
but his freaking leg was broken last year. He's out for 3 months.
That would be Forrest Whitley's luck. Like I said, I just feel sorry for the guy. I would rather him just be healthy, not be good enough, and call it a career and go sell insurance. No disrespect to insurance salesmen. I've done it. I've just used it.
Nah, you don't want to sell insurance.
I just want the guy to be healthy. Either make it or break it and get the hell out. Not break his leg, but either make it in the bigs or get the hell out. I've had enough talking about Forrest Whitley on the verge of doing something, and boy, we're having another good run in the minors, and then it just ends up in some kind of injury. I want it to come to fruition. Let's see what the guy's got, or get his ass up out of here and move on. So there's a little look back at the Astros, little split squad action yesterday. Again, they play at 5:05 Blue Jays tonight, 5:05 p.m. We'll cover that a little bit here down the road in the show. But coming up next, this is crazy to think this. I mean, Steph Curry hit his 4,003, y'all. Tyler, I know it disgusts you that I'm leading with Steph Curry, but damn it, the people got to hear this. This is absolutely absurd. 4,000 threes, and he's nowhere near done. We'll cuss and discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Diving for a month. Curry thought about three. He'll put up a three. There it is! Number 4,000! A shot for the ages from a player for the ages.
Steph Curry, hey, man, for three. How'd that make you feel, T?
Somebody stop that man. Here comes.
How'd that make you feel, T? How you like hearing that lead with it, baby?
It's whatever. I mean, a turd's going to find, something successful in their life every once in a while.
You got to get over this, bro. He's changed the game like maybe anybody ever has.
I agree with that.
We're talking about one of the greatest, most innovative, game-changing type dudes. We got to get him off your all-time turd list.
No.
For chewing on a damn mouthpiece?
And for throwing said mouthpiece, hitting poor old ladies in the head, throwing a tantrum like a child,
If he gets to 5,000, will you forgive him?
Nope.
Will you forgive him?
I will always acknowledge his greatness. I really will. But Steph Curry, also an all-timer for the turds. He's an all-time turd. All-time hooper, all-time turd. Congratulations, Steph. Double banger.
We got to get him up off there, man. We got to get him off there.
And his wife's restaurant is disgusting.
Do they even still operate?
I don't know. Probably not.
Been down for about 4 years now.
Clearly, Steph Curry is leading the all-time three-point field goals record ever, right? With 4,000 now and counting. Cool. Any guess on who's number two? Anybody want to guess who number two is?
Yes.
Ray Allen.
James Harden.
Bingo, James Harden. Yeah. Ray Allen's three. I wasn't aware that James Harden had passed Ray Allen either. I knew he'd made a lot, but I didn't realize that he had passed him.
That was a lot of honey buns ago.
Here you go. I'll give them to you real quick. You got Steph Curry, James Harden, Ray Allen, Damian Lillard, and Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's on the top five all time as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed Dame that high. I know he's a great shooter and puts it in from beyond the arc pretty often, but I didn't think Dame would be that high.
Did you have Klay that high? I didn't.
Guessed Klay. Yeah.
Does Damian Lillard still play basketball?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I'd have him up there. Just because of the game's changed.
That's fair.
I'm fascinated with this stuff, you know, because you brought this up, Clinton. Somebody, the other night when Jalen Green, rose up the ranks in the Rockets' all-time leading three-point shooters list,
yeah.
I looked at this, and I could not believe my eyes, like just in the Rockets, but particularly like NBA all-time ranks, how many current like active players are inside the top 25 all time in NBA history for three pointers made already. Yeah. There are more active players inside the top 25 in three pointers made right now today than there are guys that are retired. It's 13 to 12.
Yeah.
Top 25. That's wild.
Those 13 that are active in the top 25, Steph Curry, James Harden, Dame Lillard, Klay Thompson, LeBron James. How about that? LeBron James at 7, right?
I can stroke
LeBron a little bit here without Ron. When Ron's not here, he gets all hard up over there if you start talking about it.
But literally,
I mean, he's got a chance. LeBron's got a chance to finish top five threes of all time. I mean, depending on how long he plays, he may even get Ray Allen. But I mean, no, he won't get Ray. I guess he could. Paul George.
How many behind is he from Ray?
Behind Ray?
Yeah.
500? No, 400.
400?
Mm-hmm. Think about it. He's going to catch Reggie. Hell, he ain't but 18 away from Reggie. He'll be in the top five if he can catch. Klay's still playing. The rest of them guys are still playing. But, yeah, you got a long Eric Gordon. How about that? Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield? I did not have him in the top 25.
Good Lord, again, today's NBA,
wow,
man.
They're shooting it. But Steph Curry at 4,000, look, I think the big question with Steph today is can he get to 5,000, right? Can Steph get to 5,000? And if you look at it, average right now in his career, he's averaging, I believe it's just under four game. So if you look at his career, it's going to take him 250-some-odd games more to get there, to get to 5,000.
But Steph Curry's 36 years old right now.
Yeah.
And he's going to be...
And he played a 40. If he gets to 40, he's got a shot.
He just turned 37 today. Happy birthday, Steph.
If he can play to 40, he's got a shot.
If he could play till 40, that's 38, 39, 40.
Three more years.
Well, check it out. I'm glad you mentioned this. You talked about Ray Allen just a minute ago. Mm-hmm. When he passed Ray Allen, that was December of 2021.
So it took him three and a half years to get to 1,000?
Yeah. So it was 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. 4 years almost. So yeah. Like 3 years and 10 months.
It seems like that was yesterday.
No. 3 years. What was this? So what are we in, March? 3 years, 8 months.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. So,
the crazy thing is right now, average threes per game, he's just over four. So he's actually shooting it better right now than he is on his career. His career average is under. So he's 250 something on his career average. It would 250 more games for him to get to 5,000. Mm-hmm. If you base it off his career average.
Yeah.
If you base it off the average that he's shooting right now, it's 220 something games for him to do it. So the thought is, if he plays three more seasons, he can either get there or get damn close, and it can be something to follow.
I'm not going
to
bet against him, especially when he's shooting 11, 12 threes a game.
Tyler, you betting against him, Tyler?
Who's Steph?
Yeah.
Any chance I get when I think it makes sense? Yeah.
I don't mean literally betting. Betting against him. If you had to bet right now, would you bet he gets to 5,000 or
not? Not the guy with the most pure stroke I've ever seen.
You wouldn't bet against it?
No.
Right? The thing is that I do, like, Steph is clearly the best shooter. There's no debating that. But, like, the system fits him like a glove.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you worry about is if for whatever reason that system goes away in a year, that or you know, like you got lesser pieces in the transition from Clay and Steph and Draymond and all that to these younger guys, if that doesn't go as smooth as expected, those threes may fall off.
And health.
Well, yeah, health is always a deal. But just, I'm thinking, you know, if he does stay healthy and the system's just not as efficient as it has been his whole career, can he still shoot at a four? Can he still knock down four a game? Hell, the way he shoots them from half court, I guess he could do whatever the hell he wants.
What's going to be interesting is, like, we're kind of already there now, maybe. Now, the Warriors are making a little bit of a run, right? But is Steph Curry going to get to the point in his career where personal statistics are more important than winning? Like, is he going to chase 5,000 at the expense of, you know, being a mediocre to poor basketball team?
Yeah, my answer to your question is I don't think he does. I don't think Steph has that in him. I think Steph's going to do whatever he can to win games, and the minute he can't win, he's going to walk away. I truly believe that. But the thing is that right now they make one move with Jimmy Butler and they're chasing the Rockets down. Mm. How badass is it right now, by the way, to the Golden State Warriors chasing the Rockets and Rockets winning and then the Rockets chasing the Lakers and the Lakers are losing. I mean, this is
I love
beautiful.
It. I just hope the 4-5 stays the same. I'd like to flip. Yeah. I'd like the Rockets to be the 4, the Lakers to be the 5, but okay. I want to see that matchup in the first round.
Yeah. It's fun. It's going to be fun, man. The Rockets are providing us some entertainment. That's for damn sure. The Ime Udoka days have been fruitful, and they're going to, seems like they're getting nothing but better as the longer he's here. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, the Texans. We talked a little bit about the pressure that's on C.J. Stroud earlier as it relates to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is important. The Texans absolutely cannot be done in the trade market, y'all. They're not a draft pick away from improving either, you know, this year from – I'm sorry, this past year to this year, a draft pick's not going to improve it enough. Another significant trade has to be on the horizon. It just absolutely has to. Nick's got to be flipping no stone. Which current Texans, we don't know who he's looking at, but which current Texan right now, Texans, have trade value that Nick could actually use to make this team better? Mm. What's that list look like? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
That big Nick energy.
Yeah. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Texans absolutely cannot be done. They absolutely cannot be done in free agency, in the trade market. We know they're not done, obviously, with the draft. And here's where I'm at, and I feel pretty confident in saying this. The Texans are not a first-round draft pick offensive lineman away from being better this year than they were last year. There has to be more than a draft pick. It has to be more than Lakin Tomlinson, Ed Ingram, and a draft pick. And you reshuffle, hope Juice is better, hope Jarrett Patterson can roll at center, hope Tytus Howard works at left tackle, hope Blake Fisher gets better at right tackle. Like, that's a lot of hoping. That's a lot of wishing and hoping. There's no way that Nick Caserio's done. Now, they did restructure, as we mentioned a little earlier, they did restructure Christian Kirk's contract, freed up $12 million of cap space. And the Texans got a little room to work with. I think there's a trade in the works, boys. I cannot, given everything that we've been told, everybody that's repeated the whole fixing the protection from the inside out, what's on the line for C.J. Stroud, really what's, if you look at it offensively, the easiest way for this football team to get to be better under D'Amico Ryans than they've been the first 2 years is to make some level of an improvement on the offensive side of the ball. Defense ain't got no problem improving. Mm-hmm. I mean, their performances are improving. The roster's improving. Their players are getting better. They're developing them. D'Amico Ryans has put them in the best place to win. Now, if they can just stay a little bit healthier in the back end, and get a couple guys up front, stay off them PEDs, then play, you know, 17 games. That defense is you're going to get up there and you're going to be flirting with some of the best defenses in the game for sure. But offensively, they can't be done, boys. There has to be a trade on the horizon with the Houston Texans. Nick has to be working the phones hot and heavy right now trying to find a significant trade. And here's the question. Who on this team right now, what current Texan has trade value? What current Texan can Nick Caserio pick the phone up and have a conversation with a whatever position the guy plays for need and say, hey, we got this guy right here, man. Let's make a deal. We need interior offensive line. What do you need? Who's got value on this current football team? I got a list of five guys, and I'd argue that they're in this particular order. Tell me what you think about it.
Okay.
Tytus Howard. Now, one might ask, what the hell are you talking about? We got two tackles on this team. I believe you can find a tackle in this draft with a first or second round pick. And I believe you can solve. I'd be okay going to battle with
that. What would you need for Tytus Howard to ensure that you can get that tackle as a first or second round pick?
I think here's the thing. Again, I think Tytus Howard is significantly more valuable than fans and a lot of folks in the media would give him credit.
Especially at this point in time.
Well, you're talking about a guy that can play two tackles or guard. Mm-hmm. And that's he's played some pretty good tackle on both ends. And he's played some decent fill-in guard. Hadn't been pretty, but it's been a Band-Aid. When you can do that, you know, your value is through the roof. I think Tytus Howard, if he is a Texan this year, I think by mid-year, Tytus Howard will be the player that everybody's thankful for. Right now, there's people like scared crapless that Tytus Howard's a left tackle. I don't think he's going to be Laremy Tunsil, obviously, but I think he's going to be pleasantly surprised that he's a pretty damn good player on the edge once he's put into training camp, playing left tackle.
Yeah.
Okay, Tytus Howard, Christian Harris, John Metchie, Dalton Schultz, and last but not least, just to give you five of them, Damian Pierce. I think there's some level of value with these guys. Obviously, starting high with Tytus Howard and ending low with Damian Pierce. I'm not talking about the Kenyon Green throw-in trade. I'm not talking about, you know, those are all great, but I'm talking about moves where you're trading good for good.
Yeah.
You're trading a good-sized contract for a good-sized contract. You're trading a really good prospect for a really good prospect. You're trading a guy that everybody was high on 2 years ago or 3 years ago coming out in the combine and coming out as a prospect, coming out of college, and maybe they've shown some flashes, but they just hadn't stepped over there yet. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about one of these, we'll throw somebody in or we'll throw a seventh round pick in. I'm talking about a trade that means something. Tytus Howard, Christian Harris, John Metchie, Dalton Schultz, and Damian Pierce.
I'd put Metchie at the bottom of the list in terms of like overall trade value.
Well, the Metchie thing is interesting because I would too if you just look at these names.
Mm-hmm.
The Dalton Schultz would be higher on the list if it wasn't for the contract in the tape last year.
Agreed.
Right, so I'm looking at John Metchie. There's no way to look at what John Metchie did last year and not go, John Metchie got better. And I know there's a lot of people that were really, really high on John Metchie when he was coming out. So that's what I was banking on putting him at three.
I was going to say, like, I might even move Dalton Schultz up the list if not for what you just said, the contract and, like, how poor the play was.
But you're right. Maybe I should have put him up there because, look, the Texans could eat half of that contract and win.
I'd consider putting Dalton Schultz number two in terms of highest trade value. Okay. One, because he's already got the contract. Two, because the tight end market this offseason, if you thought last offseason was terrible, it ain't much better this offseason.
Yeah.
How many teams out there would love to have a good pass-catching tight end that maybe feel like, you know what, we don't have to do as much with this guy in the blocking, in the run-blocking game, or we just want to use him for his strength as a good pass-catching tight end, maybe as a safety blanket like we talked about him being for C.J. Stroud a couple of years ago in his rookie season. So for that reason, I'd put Schultz higher, and I'd put him higher too because of Christian Harris. The lack of durability and availability for Christian Harris. Like, that's one of those prospect, cheap, but how available has he been the last 2 years?
Right.
Unfortunately, not much. And even when he was quote unquote healthy towards the end of the season, Texans didn't play him that much. You know, they used D'Amico used him kind of like as it didn't feel like an afterthought, but it felt like a guy, like a complimentary piece. Like, we don't really need you, but boy, we're really going to jack some dudes up if we throw you out there. You know what I mean?
I just, D'Amico Ryans, I don't know if he was this level of forward thinking, but I mean, when that level of defensive coordinator in the game says, this is the most talented linebacker that I've seen, that I've ever coached, and he's coached Fred Warner and coached Dre Greenlaw, and now he's coaching Azeez and Toa Toa. Mm. I mean, like, that is a, to me, and again, I'm not saying he was trying to sell him at the time, but if D'Amico thinks that, like, I think if he thought that about a player and that player was somebody somewhere else and he was on the trade block, D'Amico's ears would perk.
Here's I think it's a good point. Here's the thing, though. If you traded Dameon Pierce, what are you getting for him? Because now you need an RB2. If you traded John Mechie, I mean, he may or may not be a part of this team when camp breaks in 2025. Same goes with Xavier Hutchinson. We don't really know. Wide receiver corps is like a chief concern of mine. If you trade Dalton Schultz, well, you're probably going to ride with some iteration of Tegan Quatoriano, Cade Stover, Irv Smith, and let's please just all pray that Brevin Jordan is healthy because I think he could be badass on the Nikhaley.
I would be. This is not just my frustration, or you, if you will, with Dalton Schultz. I would love to hear that they're going into camp and the priorities are Cade Stover and Brevin Jordan. I would absolutely
love it. I want Brevin's name to be in that.
I'm going
to
tell you, Brevin, we missed Brevin last year. We missed Brevin a lot more than one might think. I mean, his ability in the pass game to like, if you do catch something underneath versus pressure, now you've got lesser defenders in the you know, to beat, and his ability to make big plays, we miss that. His ability just in the pass game to create separation from DBs, we miss that. Of course, nobody saw Dalton Schultz not being a factor in that area and dropping key throws. But Brevin Jordan to me is the guy that, if he can stay healthy, could jump on the scene and really help this football team. But Cade Stover and a dog that Cade Stover's got in him.
Yeah.
Irv Smith, too. I mean, Irv is obviously not an upper echelon tight end, but we talked about it a little bit the other day on the show. I mean, when you give me a guy that in pass protection, he may get beat inside, but he's going to ride whatever that defensive end is. He's going to ride and push and give the quarterback somewhere to slide to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Dalton Schultz couldn't even get that accomplished. I'd love to see him move on from Dalton Schultz, and even with the guys they have, and be good. Maybe sign somebody in free agency, or maybe draft somebody would be cool. But let me
throw a slight wrench into this.
Okay.
Just add another question to this. There's only two guys that fall into this category because of the contracts. Do you think Titus Howard is more likely to be traded, or more likely to be restructured?
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
And the same question would apply for Dalton Schultz. More likely to be traded or more likely to be restructured?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think unless the Texans are going to eat some of that contract, I don't think Dalton Schultz is tradable. I think it was that bad. I think football, even 2025 football guys, coaches, what they saw last year from Dalton Schultz are absolutely disgusted with. I don't think you're going to have to eat half his contract.
I can't disagree with that.
You have to eat half his contract in order to trade him, I would think.
So restructure possibility.
Possibly.
Dalton, yeah.
Titus Howard is the one. I just can't see you. That would be you'd really expose yourself to not tackle problems like can we help them, but just guys that can flat out play the position.
Yeah.
Because you can't give a guy – I don't think – the one thing I feel good about Blake Fisher and Titus Howard is one-on-one, I know who I have. They may get beat, but I don't think they're going to get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a low bar, but I think that's reality. As long as I don't just get flat-ass beat constantly – then I can chip and I can do some things formationally to help him out and give him a better chance. But we couldn't even execute that last year. That's the bad thing is we couldn't. Dalton Schultz would line up. This is the most frustrating thing in football. And it just happens to be Dalton Schultz, right? Sorry. So it's not piling on, just reality. When you see the tight end in a two-point stance, 1 yard, outside and 1 yard off the ball from the tackle, you're doing that so that you can run. You can release off the ball straight ahead and that D end either has to hit you or that DN has to stutter his feet to avoid you, mm-hmm. and now as a tackle, I can set with depth, and now I'm catching you, and it's game over. I got you, right? Dalton would move his ass out of the way.
Yeah.
What in the world is that? We couldn't even accomplish that. So, and they still, Blake Fisher still hung on for dear life. So, a lot of the problems were more communication issues with the pressure. I think those guys would be fine. I don't see Titus Howard getting moved, but if you're going to move him for a significant piece inside, I would not be opposed to making it happen.
If you wanted to make people in this city really nervous, you trade Titus Howard. Because I don't think we're having as much offensive line conversation at this point in time if the Texans don't trade Laremy Tunsil. If you had Laremy Tunsil as left tackle, and you knew Titus Howard was already paid and under contract, and he's played right tackle. And this was a soft offensive line. You needed to get tougher. Well, maybe effectively you have at least attempted to do that with Lakin Thompson and Ed Ingram and some other depth pieces, competitive guys that maybe you feel like can push each other in camp. And, oh, by the way, you got Scruggs and Patterson and, these guys to work with in camp, too. And you still wouldn't be done. You still needed to go draft a guy, I think. But we'd feel 1,000 times better if Laremy Tunsil was a Houston Texan right now today. It's just the risk reward. What is it going to look like in 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months from now? That's the scary part.
We'll see. I firmly believe that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans meant what they said when they said they got to fix this thing from the inside out. I don't believe the move they've made so far even put a dent in it. I got to believe that Nick's out there working the phones right now trying to make a move to put a cap on it, put a bow on it. The Texans, current Texans with trade value, Titus Howard, Christian Harris, John Metchie, Dalton Schultz, and even Damian Pierce may be at the low end of this thing. If you got somebody else you want to add to the list, shoot us a text, 713-572-4610. All right, these Rockets now. These Rockets are hunting down a team. They're hunting down a team that's ahead of them in the West standings. Hunting down several teams, but one of them, at least on this show, one of them is going to make me smile if they catch these boys. And it looks like it could happen. It may be that old lake show out there on the West Coast. My boy Ryan Ugly's team. Them Rockets are hunting them. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 1640.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.